covering Michigan and the world from his bunker below the bridge. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, welcome back to it. It's Tuesday. Just 2.5 days, or was it 3.5? Whatever. Donald Trump becomes president at the end of the week. That's what I know. My next guest, one of my favorites, who not a Trump supporter in the beginning, but certainly not a Hillary supporter. I think I can say that safely. I don't think I've talked to her since the election was over. So, Teslin Figaro, welcome back to the program.
Oh, thanks for having me, Steve. I was just thinking I have to come through to Michigan.
Yeah.
Hang out with you in the bunker below the bridge and do some live radio with you.
You got it, and I'm glad to have you here. You know, a couple of days ago I did this. I suspect you might be one of the people that does this, but I went back and like on YouTube now you can find like the best meltdowns of election night, and they've got them like strung together. And I watch them, and I watch like the Young Turks is just like, these guys are a train wreck, and they're an awful train, but it's so delicious to watch. You might enjoy some of that from time to time, just watching these people go to pieces. It's still fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and they're still doing it right now. You know, it's amazing to be just a couple of days before election. I was listening to Joe Scarborough talk this morning about the polls, and it just reminded me of Michael Cohen when he said, what polls? You know, the media has certainly been shown that the polls are not as reliable as they seem to think, and they're still pushing that narrative, not understanding that Donald Trump is going to continue to be the Donald Trump that got him elected. And he just refuses to let mainstream media take his narrative and own it. And I love it. I just respect that so much.
Well, I was just watching, and I just saw a poll come out a little bit ago from the Washington Post that says 74% of Americans still want to see Donald Trump's tax returns. And I'm like, no, they don't. They don't even care. They elected the guy. They're ready to do something different. Uh-huh. They want to see the polls. Uh-huh. And John Lewis is going to not attend the inauguration. And I'm like, and so what? He didn't attend George W. Bush's inauguration either. Is that supposed to be important to me? I mean, I don't get it. The narrative from the media gets worse and worse, and it's not helping them. It's not working for them, is it?
Well, it really backfired yesterday when Martin Luther King III met with Donald Trump on Martin Luther King Day. And I've been constantly tweeting saying, you know, I'm looking for the backlash. You know, they attacked Steve Harvey, who met with him on last week, called him everything but a child of God. Obviously the John Lewis meltdown has been going on for 3 or 4 days straight, you know, because John Lewis marched with Martin Luther King. But what about Martin Luther King's son, who actually met with Trump? And you don't see a lot of that in mainstream media. Fox, which, you know, I'm a contributor at Fox, they've been the only one that has been pushing that narrative, and the left has pretty much just ignored it because it goes against everything that they say about him being a racist, everything they say about him not reaching out to the black community. And it's really unfair because Pastor Darrell Scott, Reverend James Davis, has worked tirelessly over the election to try to get more African Americans involved, but they just refuse to do it mainly because of their constituents. They don't mind.
Let me ask you something. This is important because you hit on something very important here. First of all, Martin Luther King Jr. III said they had a very constructive meeting, was positive. He's going to give Donald Trump a chance, but he also said or alluded to that he's going to hold Donald Trump accountable for what he does as president, as he should, as all Americans should hold him accountable for what he does. But as I look at this, isn't Donald Trump reaching out to the African-American community and other communities as well, but the African-American community in a more effective way than Barack Obama did? I mean, serious question.
No question. I mean, when you talk about, it's not that he has not been trying. He has. Personal friends of mine, Pastor Scott, Reverend Davis, has worked tirelessly, Omarosa as well, to try to get people around the table to have the conversation. They've refused to. They've been shunned. There were over 100 pastors that had planned to meet with Trump when he was running for office, and Pastor Jamal Bright, Brian called did a huge periscope denouncing those pastors and telling those ministers not to support, tell their congregation not to support those ministers. So he has done outreach, Steve, but nobody's going to beg anybody, you know, and I don't blame him. The white, black, whoever. One thing Trump is certainly not a politician. He's not going to beg a Republican just as well as he's not going to beg a black person or a Spanish person. You're either with him or you're with him or you're not, you're not. And it's just that simple and plain, and that's not racist.
What I
That's
see,
saying, I'm not going to run around and kiss tail if you don't want to be on the train. You're either on or off or getting left, period.
On the line, Teslin Figaro, but by the way, former National Justice Director for Bernie Sanders, founder of Teslin Figaro Communications. You were not a Donald Trump supporter to begin with, but it sure sounds like you've come this way. Now, what I get from Donald Trump, the impression I get, He doesn't care if you're black or white. He doesn't care if you're a man or woman. He cares if you're the best person to get a task completed and completed well. To me, he's looking for the best people to do the best job possible. That's what I see.
Mm-hmm. And I agree. In the private sector, which I'm a supporter of, and you know, people ask me, do I support this person, that person? I didn't support Bernie Sanders, the man, but I supported his ideology about anti-establishment. I didn't support him as socialist views. I don't support Trump as a person, but I support his support of the private sector and getting people back to work. So I try to be really careful with saying I'm a party affiliated or person affiliated. I am independent, and there are views that I support with Trump, just like there's views I'm sure I'll disagree with him on as well.
No, so you're making the point that some of the more scathing or ridiculous or offensive things that he said, you certainly don't embrace those things, but you embrace the idea of free markets and free people and economic freedom, which has created more liberty on this planet than anything else. Economic freedom, the choice to do what you please, to create your own wealth and your own create your own business, your own kingdom, your own path, if you will. That's what you support.
Absolutely. I'm a job creator, Steve. In Orlando, I had 300 employees. It was a staffing firm, and I had to shut down due to health care reform. And now this is the first time that I've had a job that I cannot afford health care through my employer. It's just that expensive. So I am with replacing health care reform, not necessarily repealing, because it has saved a lot of people who don't work and have insurance. But for those of us who do work, we are being penalized with high deductibles and high premiums.
I think the majority of Americans do, whether it's constitutional or not, I think the majority of Americans in 2017 believe there should be a baseline of coverage for all Americans, regardless of your income, some sort of a safety net, not a hammock, but a safety net to make sure that people can see a doctor if they need to. And I think that people would like to figure out a way that if you do get, you know, terribly sick, you get cancer, for example, that you don't bankrupt yourself and end up, you know, on the street homeless because of illness. I think that people agree with those things, but we don't agree with giving everything to everybody all the time. There should be a base level of support and protection, not necessarily constitutional. I'm sure I'll get people that push back against this, but I think that is what the majority of Americans think, and I think they believe that since Teddy Roosevelt first suggested the idea more than a century ago. What do you think?
Absolutely, and they also believe that people who work should not be penalized, and I think people get that conversation confused with race or class, but it's not that. It's just the simple fact that more hardworking Americans in the middle class may lean towards one ethnic group or the other, and I think that conversation gets washed out, and for African-Americans who are working, who are in the system, simply don't want to speak against it because it seems as if we're going against our poor brothers and sisters and being against them, and that's just not the case. For me and my child, one child, I would have to spend over $400+ a month for insurance through an employer, and then still pay a $5,000 deductible without paying it with nothing, with the insurance company paying nothing. Well, I don't go to the doctor enough to have that type of deductible, so I just have zero insurance because I can't qualify for Obamacare because I make too much money. So it's not fair to me have to pay out of pocket every single time unless I had some, you know, recurrent illness that required me to go to the doctor a lot. And so a lot of us are being screwed, and it's a lot of black people, Steve, that believe in this but just simply won't do it because they'll get bashed from left to right. I mean, they killed Steve Harvey this week. Calling him
and Steve Harvey's a good he's a good guy. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. We're out of time there, Tez, but everything that I read about the guy, I find him, you know, entertaining to watch. But everything I read about, he's a good guy. He didn't deserve any of that. Tez, I've got to run, but you're great. Want to have you on whenever you're available. Love you. Tez and Figaro,
thank you. Love you, too. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you so much. Tez and Figaro here on the Steve Gerber Show. We'll be right back.